20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What's going on, Packer fans? Happy Saturday. Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. You can follow the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. On Friday, it was joint practice day. We've got a lot to go over. We'll get to that in just a moment. Quick shout out to Zach Dale, Omega Weapon 13, great name, Chandon McElwain, and Barnsey for becoming all new Pack-A-Day Podcast YouTube members. Appreciate you guys signing up. As I always say, if you haven't checked it out yet, make sure to do so. Otherwise, just do the usual. Like, subscribe, comment, give those five-star reviews. Anything you can do to interact with the show is a huge positive for the algorithm. So make sure to do that. Share it, like it. Whatever you can do is always appreciated, but most importantly, always thankful for you guys being here and making Pack-A-Day part of your daily routine. That is always the most important, and I cannot thank you enough for all of your support. All right, let's start with a bit of good news. We're going to make a good news, bad news, good news sandwich. We're going to start with a small piece of good news. We're going to go through some bad news, and we'll end with a little bit of good news, and then I kind of want to give my overall take on this overall joint practice. Now, to be abundantly clear and transparent, this is the one practice I was not at this year. So these are not observations with my own eyes. I did see some film that leaked out over on Twitter and tried to watch as much of that as I possibly could. And then obviously taking things from guys like Bill Huber, Matt Schneidman, and a variety of other people who were at practice and had reports from practice. So shout out to those guys. They did all the groundwork. I'm kind of not giving so much of my observations as my reactions to what I saw from a little bit of the stuff that I actually saw on video and then what I read, just like you guys did, scrolling through Twitter all day, keeping up to date with everything that was going on. That first piece of good news is the injury update. And the most important thing here is no new injuries. Still the same four. Obviously, you would like to see Edgerrin Cooper and maybe some of these guys get back. But Marshawn Lloyd, Jarvion Howard, Keyshawn Banks, Edgerrin Cooper, the same four guys that were not practicing. No new injuries. Didn't sound like there were any injury concerns coming out of practice. So that is a great piece of information as well. Let's start on the offensive side of the ball. This is going to be a pretty quick recap from what happened on offense and defense again, because I wasn't there. I can't tell you, well, there was a gorgeous throw from 30 yards out from, so I didn't see it. So I'm going to give you the news and then we're going to kind of react to it in the totality of the practice a little bit more at the end. By all accounts, Josh Jacobs had a very big day, had a very big run to start out practice, was heavily utilized both as a runner and in the passing game. And it just feels like Josh Jacobs is just getting more and more into a rhythm every single day. There was one video I saw of a Jacobs run and he looks super agile, super spry, and just kind of jump cutting. It looked really, really clean, and you love to see that from Josh Jacobs. By all accounts, Jordan Love to Dontavian Wicks continues to be a connection that works at a very high level. Sounds like Wicks had multiple catches throughout the course of the day. Offense had over at least, I should say, three false starts through the course of the day, and one, it sounds like, ruled out a touchdown that would have been to Malik Heath, so never like to hear that. Luke Musgrave sounded like he had a solid day and had a big play on a crossing route as well as one of their lone touchdowns in the red zone period. This is not a Packers update, but it sounds like Patrick Surtain is nothing but amazing, and that is not a surprise and that is completely expected. He's an absolute stud, one of the best corners in the game, and it sounded like he had a field day going against the Packers and breaking up multiple passes through the course of the day. There was an uncharacteristic miss from Michael Pratt to Bo Melton. The one thing with Pratt so far, he's been extremely accurate and really efficient with the ball and finding open receivers and getting it to him. Sounds like he grounded one to Bo Melton in the passing game where he was open 15-ish yards downfield and just left it a little bit short. And that's going to happen from time to time. But the only surprising thing there is, like I said, I think it's one of the few that I can remember from Pratt of just not being accurate with his passes. Now, there have been some that have been behind a receiver or things like that where the receiver had to go back and get it. But still, usually on target, not one that you're seeing fall at their feet and be completely incomplete and harmless to the defense. He sounds like he rebounded with a big throw to Dimitri Stanley. It does sound like this was probably a better play from Stanley than Pratt, because it does sound like Stanley may have been murdered in real life action over the middle with a little bit of a hospital ball there. But it does sound like Stanley came up with the big catch, which is, of course, what you love to hear. But Pratt probably, or at least maybe makes a little bit of a different decision in an actual game. And then it does sound like Sean Clifford was intercepted once again in some of the team drills, something that has been a major issue going all the way back to mini camps and then carrying over into training camp so far. Per Ryan Wood, shout out to him. Quarterback Jordan Love's passing line against the Broncos defense ended at 15 for 26, 102 yards, a touchdown, and an interception. Love started 6 for 7 for 57 yards, but then struggled after the play where he got hit on the arm and threw an interception. The ball popped up. The pick was a tip play. Everyone in the Packers thought it was Betonio from the Broncos who hit his elbow, and there was a big, you know, to-do about it. It was actually Zach Tom per Jordan Love that actually hit his elbow, and it was just friendly fire on the way back. Nothing Love could have done. As he was throwing, his elbow gets hit, the ball lofts in the air, the defender picks it off. It's not an egregious pick from Love. It does sound like he had maybe one or two that could have been picked later that were actually dropped. So karma giveth, karma taketh away, or I don't know if it's karma, but I guess, you know, good luck giveth, good luck taketh away, however you want to look at it. But that's what ultimately ended up happening from a Love standpoint. It also, per Ryan Wood, he did get a 40-yard defensive pass interference with Christian Watson. So add that to the stats if you want to look at it that way. And then it also sounds like a quote-unquote sack wiped out what would have been a 4-yard touchdown from Jordan Love to Christian Watson. So those numbers definitely could have been a little bit better. The defense on the surface, at least early in practice, sounds like it went a lot better. And it sounds like the defensive front were really the players that were bringing their A game and making this a lot more competitive. Back-to-back run stuffs by LVN. Preston Smith had a pressure early, getting Bo Nix off of his spot. Kingsley Enagbare had a run stop, a pressure, also drew a holding penalty. Rashawn Gary had a sack and a run stop. Kenny Clark had a couple tackles for loss. Jair Alexander had a pass breakup. Corey Ballantyne had a pass breakup. And one of the things I will note here, this sounds like all good stuff. The Broncos offense, Bo Nix had arguably, it sounds like, his best day of training camp so far, which is not what you want to hear when it's going against the Packers defense. But a lot of the stuff that I saw on the video was not necessarily, you know, their number one defense. There were some that were, no question about it, but like Bo Nix's play of the day, which was a really tight touchdown in the end zone, which looked great and had good coverage. Well, it was LJ Davis in coverage. So we'll get to all of this more in just a moment, but it does sound like the offense for Denver had a lot of success throughout the course of the day, and credit to them. If there were any bright spots here, it does sound like it was with the defensive front, who made multiple big plays through the course of the day. Another piece of bad news was the 2-minute drill. Packers went 0 for 5 in the 2-minute drill. 3 series on offense where they couldn't get anything going and didn't get points on any of them. And then 2 series on defense where the Broncos moved into field goal range down 3 in both occasions and would have been set up for game-tying field goals had it not been. I think it sounded like just like they ended the session maybe a little bit early. But overall, not ideal again for your 2-minute offense. That is a big portion where the Packers practice pretty much every single day, and you want to be successful in those 2-minute drills, and Green Bay was not. So that's definitely something that they're going to have to clean up. I mentioned there would be good news at the end, and there is some small piece of good news. Kickers went 5 for 5 on the day. Anders Carlson went 2 for 2. Greg Joseph went 2 for 2. And then Alex Hale went 1 for 1. Alex Hale did have a kick blocked as well, but it sounds like it was offsides by the defense. Would have been a penalty. The block wouldn't have counted. And basically, they didn't have time to do another kick, so that was it. So 1 for 1 for Hale, 2 for 2 for Carlson, 2 for 2 for Joseph, 5 for 5 on the day for Packers kickers. A minor miracle, but you will take some good news there. Just to kind of go back for a moment to the offense and the defense. If you weren't following along on Twitter, if you weren't reading some of the stuff that, you know, a lot of the writers put out afterwards, it definitely had a very strong feel that the Broncos got by far and away the better of Green Bay on this particular practice. That if you were to assign a winner, it would have clearly been the Broncos. Broncos had success on offense, defense, in the 2-minute drills, in the red zone, far more than Green Bay did. It sounded like more of Green Bay having its C-minus game at best, and Denver coming out, setting the tone early, and the Broncos having, like I said, the far better day. And that's clearly not what you want to hear, right? Let's just state the obvious. If you're going into Denver having your first joint practice, you're hoping that your guys respond, and they go out and have a great practice and show exactly what they're capable of. All right. Now, here's my overarching take kind of from today's episode, because again, not there, but I want to give this idea because there's a lot of, I don't know if I want to say concern, but there was obviously a lot of grumbling on Twitter about the Packers and how they performed at this practice, and it's not a great sign. And Bo Nix had a huge day. Even Stidham and Wilson, the two backup quarterbacks, Zach Wilson, had a good day, like had good days for both of them. The offense didn't perform as expected for the Packers. The defense didn't perform as expected for the Packers. You were hoping for, and I was hoping for, and everyone was hoping for, a much better showing against the Broncos team. Let's just be real. Is not specifically supposed to be a playoff contending team. And Green Bay certainly is. If you are clearly the better team, which Green Bay is in my opinion, and you go and practice against a team, you want to see them be the better team. It's just simple as that. But I want to talk about this entire situation and this entire practice and kind of my key takeaway from it here. Hello friends, as many of you know, a few years back the Milwaukee Bucks were in the NBA Finals and I desperately wanted to go to Game 6 in Milwaukee to see them win the championship. As you can imagine, prices were insane and I kept going back and forth with different apps to try and find the cheapest tickets possible. I finally found them, clicked purchase, and of course they were gone. Goodbye Game 6 of the NBA Finals. Now thankfully, the day of the game I was able to find a ticket, but the entire thing was so expensive and way too stressful. I really wish I could have simply used Game Time to alleviate all of the stress and all of the hassle. I've started using Game Time app for purchasing all of my tickets, and I wish I would have done so sooner. From low prices to easy to find tickets to last minute ticket deals, the Game Time app is perfect for all of my ticket needs. Game Time is the fastest growing ticketing app in the country for a reason. You can get images of your seat before you buy, you can buy tickets in a matter of seconds, two clicks only in fact, and tickets are sent directly to your phone so you never need to dig through your email. The Game Time guarantee means you'll always get the best price. If you find tickets in the same section and row for less, Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference. Snag the tickets without the stress with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code PACKADAY for $20 off your first purchase. That's code PACKADAY. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code PACKADAY for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price, guaranteed. All of this is part of making the sauce. It is all part of making this team stronger, better, understanding their weaknesses, understanding their strengths. You need both success and failure to mold you into a champion down the line. And I'm not making any overarching statement of like, this was this huge failure at practice and they're going to learn the lesson that they need to learn. I don't think that. I think it was a day of work at the office for the Packers. And I think they took away some really key learning moments. I think there were some things that they clearly did well on the same side. And I think that there are going to be things that they take away both good and bad, and they will bounce back from the bad and they will expand upon the good and they will grow from it and learn from it. And that is what practice is ultimately for. And that is what a lot of times some of these joint practices can reveal is some of the weaknesses that maybe you didn't think were weaknesses that you can now address and hopefully turn them into, if not strengths, at least not weaknesses, right? So all of this is part of the process. It's all part of making the sauce. It's all part of making the Packers a better team than they are. But I am not going to sugarcoat this. Like I said, and I'm going to say, if I had a choice, right? If you were giving me the choice of saying, would you have preferred that the Packers went out there and got, you know, creamed or and got dominated at practice? Or would you prefer that they were the hammer and they went out and had an awesome day? No, I wish they had an awesome day. I don't think anyone's going to be surprised by that. So I want to be very clear here before I say what I'm about to say is if given the choice, I wish Green Bay would have went out and crushed it. But they didn't. They had a bad day. And there's zero question that the Broncos got the better of Packers at this specific practice. So again, given the choice, wish Green Bay would have performed better. But I'm just going to say it flat out. And you might say this is coping. You might say it's rose-tinted glasses. You might say it's trying to spin this into a positive. I just said, given the choice, I wish they would have went out and just kicked some Bronco butt, right? But I'm going to say it very clearly. I love the fact that the Broncos kind of handed it to Green Bay in this particular practice. And I mean, I love it. And the reason being, and you may recall me talking about this quite a bit, one of my biggest questions for this team, my biggest question for this team going into the season is how does a young team who went out last year in one playoff game and got all the way to the divisional round in a game they should have won and had immediate success last year, how do they come back and respond this year to maybe feeling like, hey, we're a really good team. Look how amazing we are. We're going to go to the playoffs again and we're going to... The expectations for this team are high. The youth is real. And when you have a young team that experiences success early, I promise you there is a real human element there that can go to your head and you can start to put a little bit of cruise control on and maybe get away from some of the fundamentals, maybe away from some of the things that made you great at the times where you were great from a season before. And sometimes you need to get humbled a little bit to remember, oh, that's right. Every other team is really good too, and we have to find ways to be better and be the best versions of ourselves. And Green Bay in this practice, it sounds like, was not. And I love the fact that they can learn that lesson in a joint practice in Denver of, hey, what we're doing right now is not good enough. It has to be better. And if it's not, we're going to have a very tough start to the season because other teams are going to have the same opportunities to do what the Broncos did and set the tone early and take it to us and make it so that the Packers don't get off to that strong start that they want to get off to. It's interesting sometimes just how good of a teacher that failure can be, or just the recognition that, hey, what we have been doing, while it might have been good, it might not be good enough. And one of the things that I love about this Packers team is just how motivated that they are. This is a team that constantly wants to get better, that has a hunger for growth and a hunger to be the best versions of themselves that they can possibly be. And I guarantee you, from Matt LaFleur to number one Jordan Love on the roster to the 90th guy on that roster, this is a team that is going to want to bounce back and show that, hey, this was just a one-off, and really take it to heart that, hey, you need to perform better from here on out. And again, I don't want to make too much of this and say like this was this huge failure at practice. I'm just saying, I think some of those lessons that you learn and going in to face another team and that team giving you everything that they got and making it a very difficult day at the office for you, that should, and I guarantee you will, make this team more hungry and recognize some of those things that maybe they didn't perform at the level that they are capable of performing. And I would much prefer that those lessons get learned in practice. Not necessarily in week one against the Eagles or early in the year. These are exactly the reasons that you have these type of practices so that you can have hopefully iron sharpen iron. You can go against some different competition. You can look at what your strengths are and you can maybe have a little bit more vision into what your weaknesses can be or were. And I think that's an important thing to go through at this time of year. And it's important for the players, it's important for the coaches, and it's important for everyone in the organization to have those moments so you recognize what you need to be better at. And when I mentioned that, hey, not making any overarching about this one practice, I want to mention a couple other things here. Practice is not a game. And even if it's a joint practice and there are a lot of competitive periods, it is not a game. I would be willing to bet you a significant amount of money that Green Bay did not put a game plan together for this Denver Broncos defense or offense. And I'm sure the Broncos didn't either for Green Bay, but that is a huge part of going into a game, is putting a game plan together and getting everything set to beat your opponent in a game, in an actual game, and to put your players in positions to succeed and to call certain plays that are going to work against the opponent that you're going against. That is a huge part of this. You're not doing this in a joint practice. You are having still the practice mentality of mixing and matching players on the field. Yes, your starters were mostly with the starters, but just like I said, when Bo Nix was on the field completing his best pass of the day, it was LJ Davis in that corner. That's not going to happen on a Sunday this upcoming year. I guarantee you, week one against the Eagles on Friday night, LJ Davis, I'm going to be willing to bet you probably not going to be out there against a wide receiver and against the number one quarterback for the Eagles. So a practice is practice. It is not a game. There are a lot of things that are different. The other thing too that is always worth noting here is in practice, you are working on your craft. In games, you're going out to win. and make sure that that person across from you does not get anything. In practice, you might be working on a different technique. Your coaches might say, hey, I want you to try this instead of this. They might, like, there are things that you are working on. And when I said it at the beginning, this is all part of the secret sauce of making your team a better team long-term. Practice is that, like, nobody's going at the end of the year and being like, well, you know, Packers and Bears are tied for the division, but, well, Packers had that rough day at practice and in joint practices against the Broncos, so we're going to bump the Bears. It matters not at all. And I'll just say it one more time. Yes, I would have loved for Green Bay to go and be the hammer and kick some faces in. That's not what a hammer does, but you get my point. But learning these lessons and having these moments and figuring out where your shortcomings might be, invaluable at this point of the year. Absolutely invaluable. And the one last thing I'll add on here is, while in real time going through some of these updates from both the Broncos reporters and the Packers reporters, it felt pretty crappy in real time how Green Bay was playing. Going through the actual, like, written reports and kind of rereading everything and going through every note that I could possibly find, it didn't feel quite as bad. It did feel like there were a lot of positive takeaways from Green Bay as well that they came out on top of. But again, Broncos got the better of it. Kudos. Tip your cap. They were the better team. You know what? The Bengals, it felt like, were the better team in joint practices last year for the Packers against the Bengals. The Patriots were the better team in Green Bay last year. Easily. And that should be all you need to know. The Patriots last year were the better team in joint practices than the Packers. And the Patriots went on to be one of the worst teams in football, and the Packers were this close to the NFC Championship game. So I'll end by saying this. Do not get too concerned over this. It is not a real indicator of what is to come, but it is a fantastic learning exercise for so many of these young players that will get better because of it. And Matt LaFleur and this coaching staff will make sure that they understand now the goal is to be better because that wasn't good enough. And they will take that to heart. They will learn from it. They will grow from it, because that is exactly what this very young and very talented Packers team has shown over and over again over the course of the last couple seasons. And I don't think anything is going to change going into 2024 and 2025. All right, that's going to do it for me today. Always appreciate you guys. Wish I had more updates live from practice. I unfortunately do not, but I will be back at practice next week. We've got the preseason game on Sunday. I will have a preview show. I might do a live pregame too. Keep an eye out for that just in case. Shout out to our Hall of Fame and All-Pro members, Most Hated Minnesotan, PJ Wynn, John Wild, Shea Broadad, Brandon Paletta, Jennifer Wright, Boom Handle, Donald Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, Dan Miller, Alex Huang, Arnaldo Espinoza, Peter Ritaka, Caleb Cookster, SoCal Pack, Dan Gesford, and Love and Football. See you guys soon. Until next time, and as always, go Pack Go.